In our hymn of praise this morning, we sang, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And we talked about how powerful a God we have that helps us handle anything, even the threats from Satan and the devil and the evil things of this world. I think I probably believed in the devil and evil when I was a little kid, and then as I became a teen and a young adult, I wasn't sure about all of that stuff. But now that I'm getting older again, the longer I live, the more I believe in the reality of the devil and evil and powers and principalities, not only temporal in the world, but heavenly. There are just forces in the world that aren't good. And they have impact on us. But we have a God who cares about us living our life for good. Living out our lives according to His will. Living in the power that He offers us as we turn to Him and what He would share with us from the Word that has been given to us. And one of the ways that we do that is communicating with Him in prayer. That is one of the great privileges we have as Christians. But we might ask, what are our prayer priorities as God's people? I think we get a little help with that from the scripture story this morning. We hear that familiar story. You probably heard it most of your life about two sisters in a home. This was probably the home of Lazarus, their brother, as well. And as Jesus is going along the way and goes into their town, Martha welcomes him to her home. Now, Jesus really didn't have much of a home. I think the closest thing he had to a home was staying with Peter in Capernaum when he was there. But when he was roaming around the country, preaching and sharing the gospel, you know, they just camped out or were at the disposal of people offering their homes for a place to stay. And I guess when you travel around with 12 or more people, that cuts down on the number of invitations you get into people's homes. It would certainly impact my willingness to invite somebody to come in and stay. But Martha was apparently there in the villages Jesus came through and invited him to come to her house, which was an amazing kind of task when you think about it. It's something you might think of Bob and Adela doing because, you know, they can do wonders with stuff in the kitchen. And whenever there's a big deal about getting food ready, they're kind of the go-to people, like when we had our district pastors meeting. You know, when Adela said that she had headed up, I felt, you know, she's a Martha type that you can count on, that you can go to. And we've got others in the congregation like that. But imagine an invitation like that and realizing you're going to be preparing a meal for 12, 15, 20 extra people. Now that's quite an undertaking. And that takes a very special person, a very good and a generous person, not only to share that food, but to do all that work in preparation. And then we're shared this little vignette, like a video clip out of a story of Jesus' life, where he goes into this home, and Martha has been working feverishly to get all of this food prepared. I don't know if she's like us. She probably had to rush home before they got there and pick up stuff and cram it here and cram it there, which we'd probably have to do. You know, it's not real dirty, but it might be a little messy. You need to straighten up and pick up. But of course, she had her sister Mary to help. And then Jesus arrives with all of these extra guests, including the disciples. And she's really worried about how she's going to pull this off. And she goes looking for her sister. You know, it's like, where is that girl? You never find her when you need her. And it's real crowded in there. And she really can't see her because she's down on the floor right at Jesus' feet looking up at him. Now, we don't realize it, but in that society, a woman usually wasn't so bold as to go right in where the men folk were gathered. I remember growing up as a kid, you know, it was kind of like when families got together, the women folk got over here and the men folk got over there. And, you know, you didn't see a whole lot of women go over to the men's side and men going over to the women's side. Any of y'all ever remember that as you were growing up as a kid? Did that happen or is that just my family? Okay. Well, you know, it was that way in Jesus' time. And there is Mary, where Martha never expected to see her. Just plopped right at the feet of Jesus. And from Mary's point of view, it was kind of like, I dare her. There's a lot of work to be done. What's that girl doing? And so instead of addressing, you know, Mary, she addresses Jesus. And it says, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself? Well, being a bit of a smart aleck, I would have probably said, well, Mary didn't invite me. You invited me, Martha. I mean, but, you know, I wouldn't have said that, but I'd have probably thought it. But that's not, Jesus doesn't really address that. Jesus doesn't say, Mary, you know, this is for the guys. You're really not supposed to be here. Nor did he say, get up and help your sister. You know that's your job. That's women's work. We're taking care of man stuff here. Now Jesus looked at Mary. And he said, Martha, and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need for only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The woman who invited he and his whole crew into her house asked for her sister to help. And Jesus says, you're just worried and distracted about too much. Stop fretting over the meal. Don't worry about it. In Gerald Peterson's the Message, he translates that, I'm the main course. It's not about what you're fixing in the kitchen. It's about the food of life I'm sharing right here. And your sister is feeding on that. She's made the better choice. The earthly dinner will kind of take care of itself. It's not that important. What is important is that I'm here in your home and Mary just wants to soak up my presence. And you're all about getting the job done, entertaining the crowd, making sure everything's just right around the table. Now, was there something wrong with what Martha wanted? No, not at all. But it was a matter of priorities. And I think our prayer priorities are a little bit like Mary and Martha. Terry Teagle, who was here in the fall doing a prayer conference, talked about that difference in people going to prayer. And, you know, I've got to confess to you that my prayer life and priorities were pretty much Martha prayer priorities for most of my life. Actually, until the last few years of my life. It's been about doing. It's about getting things done. It's about doing the job and how well you do the job. It's about trying to serve God by hopefully pleasing people the way you think God wants you to please them. That's kind of a Mary priority, and that's a Mary priority in our prayers. When we think the things we take to God in prayer are about a people agenda, then we're being kind of Martha-oriented. If we take to our prayers the idea about getting the job done at the church, any job done at the church, then we have sort of a Martha priority in our prayer life. That getting the job done is a worldly thing, and we need to get jobs done in the world. There's nothing wrong with people working in the world. But when confronted with the living God, that doesn't need to be our priority in our prayer life or in our service to God. Mary just sat at the feet of Jesus. See, her priorities was not needing God to give her a helping hand. Her priority was just to be in the presence of the living God that was right there in her house that morning. She didn't know all that much about Jesus theologically. She wasn't necessarily a well-educated person. She didn't know what the Pharisees and the scribes and the rabbis knew. But she knew enough that when God was present in her life, I want to get just as close to Him as I can. I'm not even sure that Mary was soaking in every word Jesus spoke. Even though it was coming from the lips of Jesus, I think for Mary, it was just being close to the living God. To just let His presence be so powerful that she just looked up at awe. And had He stood there or sat there, and usually when He taught, He sat. You know, if He just sat there and did this for 20 minutes, I think it would have been okay with Mary. Because it wasn't even about the words. It was about the presence of that much goodness, that much embodied love, that much of God right there close to her. That just was the most important thing in her life at that moment. See, there's nothing wrong with having Martha's priorities. But God wants us to just be with Him, to be in His presence. And it's not about the words we say or even the words He says to us through Scripture. Is do we just take time to be there with Him like Mary did? And Jesus said, she chose the better portion. That meant the other portion was good. There's nothing wrong with it. But she chose something better. And she chose something that nothing and no one could take away from her. But Terry Teakle says, you know, there's two kinds of churches. There are Martha churches and Mary churches. And when our priority is a Martha church, we're just busy about stuff. You know, we just get all caught up into our plans and what everybody thinks about them and how we need to adjust our plans because somebody thought this or somebody changed their mind about this, and we got to take care of that because we got to please as many people as we need to please. But he said a Mary church is all about just drawing into the presence of God, finding out what God wants, just being with God. Just enjoying being there with God without having to have a big agenda. Because after you leave the presence of God, you're going to have greater clarity about what's important in life. And the doing will take care of itself. But just being there with God. Desiring that more than anything. To come in here and just in desire to be there. I don't know what it would be like to write music like Joe does. But I suspect to get inspired, it's just you got to be in some kind of groove, some kind of presence with the Lord. And then that sort of takes care of itself. I don't know. It just kind of comes to you. Right. And that's what happens when we draw into the presence of our Lord. But if we say, well, let's see, I got a half hour, I got to write part of a song tonight. Is that going to happen with you? It doesn't happen with me real often either. But you see, once we're in the presence, once we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, once we soak in His love and His power and His glory that can take away all of the worries and the troubles of the world, then the good stuff can flow after that. because we've chosen the better portion. What portion are we choosing as individuals? Are we still caught up in the Martha thing, getting it all together, getting it all right, trying to please everybody? Or do we just draw into the presence of God and care about pleasing no one but Him? Are our priorities at a church about getting the programs done and getting what we decided to do done this way and that way, and who likes this and who doesn't like that, and how are we going to get everybody to agree to something? Or do we just draw in the presence of God and let Him be Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and direct the life of the church? That's a good thing. A lot of good is done that way. But how much more might be done if as individuals and as a church we spent more time with our priorities on being in the presence of a loving and living God and letting that love transform our lives and one another? You see, that is something that can never be taken from us. Somebody can come along and run a better committee meeting. Somebody can come along and do a better bazaar or lead a better barbecue sale. Somebody can come along and do a better Bible study or a better prayer vigil and sort of take away your glory of the time you did it and did it well. But when we come into the presence of the living and loving God, when we know He's there with us, no one can ever take that from us. No one can ever outdo it. Because God gives us something that can never be taken away. I've spent most of my life being a Martha-type person. I don't know whether it's an age thing, I'm getting older or what. But I want to be a Mary-type person. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I just want to be in His presence and be overwhelmed by who He is and let whatever I do flow from that. He invites us all to choose the better portion. It's up to us. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for all the Marthas in the world and in the church who do so much. But sometimes we can be like Martha. We can be so worried and distracted with the details that we forget the reason we're there. That we can be so wrapped up in doing the work of the Lord that we forget what it's like to know the Lord of the work. Help us to know You, Lord Jesus. Help us to draw into Your presence, Abba Father. And know if we can do that, You will empower our doing because You have transformed who we are when we come together face to face. May we choose the better portion and get rid of our distractions and our worries as we come into Your presence to live there, to be inspired there, and then to go out to serve in Your name. We ask this blessing in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.